Hey everybody, this is Bob Z, the pastor of Joy Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope it's a word that will encourage you today. Let's remember in these challenging times we're living that God is still in control and that his love for us endures forever. Amen. God bless. And fill the atmosphere here. It's what we just sang. And that's what we do here every Sunday morning. We fill the atmosphere on this campus with worship and praise to the only one worthy of our praise. That's our King Jesus. And as that song says, let us become more aware of your presence. That's been an ongoing prayer of mine, that we would have a greater awareness of his presence. Now, I know our theology teaches us that if we've asked Holy Spirit into our lives, we've asked the Lord, forgive us of our sin, we repent of our sin, come and live inside of me, he comes. He comes to abide, the Bible says. He comes to dwell. He comes to live in our hearts. That reality should blow our minds to think that the God of the universe, the King of the cosmos, who could choose to dwell, abide anywhere, wants to live in your heart, in my heart. That's amazing. We should never lose our awe and wonder over that truth. We also know Jesus tells us in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 18 that for where two or three gathered together in my name, there am I with them. Two or three. Yeah, we qualify. There am I with them. So that's Jesus. Those are his words, so he's here with us. But do we live our lives like we believe that awesome truth? I believe we all need a greater awareness of his presence here this morning because his presence changes things, right? There's that one song, when he walks into the room, everything changes. So when he walks into this room, he changes this room. Instead of this becoming a high school auditorium, he changes this place into a holy sanctuary, right? Right? I mean, I hope you believe that. Because if we don't believe that, then we do need a greater awareness of his presence here this morning because he's here. All right. Last Sunday, our pre-Thanksgiving Day message was titled, Be Thankful in All Circumstances. That was a hard teaching. Because let's face it, it's very difficult to be thankful in all circumstances. Now, I'll admit, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, but when I'm facing a very difficult circumstance in my life, my first response is not thankfulness. My second response is not thankfulness. It takes me a while to adjust my perspective and my way of thinking until I can see my circumstance from God's perspective, when I can see it through his eyes instead of my eyes. Can anyone else relate to that besides me? Am I the only one who feels like that? Oh, Lord. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us to be thankful for all circumstances, but it does tell us to be thankful in all circumstances, but that ain't easy. The Bible also tells us that with God, all things are possible. It doesn't say all things are easy. It says all things are possible. And remember, like I said last week, it's a whole lot easier to just complain about stuff. But it's more beneficial to us to be thankful. But I know that's not easy. It's difficult, but it's possible. The Bible tells us it's possible, and it's more beneficial than complaining. So last Sunday, I prayed Psalm 100 over us before we left, and I read over that psalm several times since last Sunday, and Holy Spirit was highlighting some things that I wanted to share this morning, and I won't keep you long today. So the title of this morning's message is Enter His Gates with Thanksgiving. And we're going to be in Psalm 100. So, Father, open up your word to us this morning. Give us ears to hear. Let us be tuned into you. Let us not be distracted by cell phones or other interests, Lord. Let us give you our full, undivided attention because you're worth it. You're more than worth it. You deserve it. It's an honor to give you our attention this morning It's an honor to know that you're going to speak to us this morning. So we need to hear from heaven this morning. Bob has nothing important to say, but you do. So open our ears to hear, open our hearts to receive this morning from heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. Our theme this week is the same as last week, being thankful, right? I mean, we could talk about being thankful for months. Like I said, we need to complain less. We need to give thanks more. And I'm just going to read all five verses of Psalm 100. It won't be on the screen. And then we'll just go back and break it down by verse and look at it a little deeper, okay? It's the only psalm in the Bible that is called the Psalm of Thanksgiving. And let's remember, if we're going to call ourselves Christians, Thanksgiving needs to be a way of life, a lifestyle, not just a holiday in November, okay? All right, listen up. The psalm writer tells us, Psalm 100, beginning verse 1, "Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge," your Bible might say, "know that the Lord is God. He made us." All right? And we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts or enter his courts with praise. That's what we all need to declare every Sunday morning when we drive through those gates onto this campus. We enter your gates with thanksgiving, Lord. We enter your courts with praise, Lord. And then Psalm 100 concludes with these two sentences. "For the Lord is good, his unfailing love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." What a great psalm of thanksgiving. Now, many of us were brought up as children to keep our voices down, right? Use your inside voice, not your outside voice, right? Not so loud. I can hear you. I'm right in front of you. I can hear you. Not so loud. And there are times when being quiet is the proper response, but Psalm 100 tells us to shout it out loud, right? When it comes to worshiping the Lord, Psalm 100 claims it's very appropriate to turn up the volume, right? Crank it up to 10 and pull the knob off, as they say. And the five verses of Psalm 100 just roar with praise. This psalm is an invitation to the whole world to not only know God, but to worship him. So, Lord, open your word up to us this morning on this Sunday after Thanksgiving Day. Teach us from your word. Examine our hearts with your word this morning. Let us see how we are living our lives. Can we say, yes, Psalm 100 is a psalm I live by? Teach us, we pray. All right. Let's look at verse 1 and 2, Psalm 100. Shout for joy to who? To the Lord. Not shout for joy for your favorite football team, although I do that a lot too. But shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Not just a select group of people. This is a command for every one of us. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Some translations say serve the Lord instead of worship. Serve the Lord with gladness. But serving is part of our worship. And we're called to do it with gladness, not complaining, right? This psalm tells all of us to shout, to worship, to serve, to sing with joy and gladness. So this is for all nations, including the Muslim nations, including the Hindu nations, including the Buddhist nations. The word here is telling us that all nations need to recognize who God is. His name is Yahweh, not some generic God, not one of thousands of gods. He's the one true God in a world of thousands of false gods. And the whole earth is invited to know him and to serve him and to worship him. Come before him singing with joy. Singing isn't the only way to praise the Lord, but all through the book of Psalms, praise is expressed through song. Think of the book of Psalms as God's playlist, or for some of us old schoolers, God's mixed tape. Remember mixtapes. I still have a few somewhere. Anyway, let's keep going. Look at verse 3. Acknowledge or know that the Lord is God. He made us. We are His. He made us. We are His, right? We belong to Him. We're His people. We're the sheep of His pasture. Acknowledge or know that the Lord is God. Now, this doesn't mean just to have an intellectual knowledge of God. He's not impressed with us having a long list of facts about Him. He's more interested in us having a deeper, intimate awareness of who He really, truly is, of His true identity, and for each one of us to have this close, intimate, personal love relationship with Him. That's what He's after, our hearts. And because He's our Creator. Think of it, He's our Creator. He made us. We're His. We're His people. We're the sheep of His shepherd, it tells us. Sheep of His pasture. How could we not worship Him? How could we not serve Him with gladness? You hear people sometimes describe a very successful businessman or businesswoman as a self-made man, self-made woman. There is no such thing. The sad thing is that people who believe that they are self-made usually worship their supposed creator, which is themselves. That's sad. Newsflash, God made us. Whether we're male or female, young or old, rich or poor, God made us, and He doesn't make mistakes. We're His. We're His. We belong to Him. He's the good shepherd, and we are His sheep. I mean, that alone is more than enough of a reason for us to worship and serve Him with gladness. Look at verse 4. Enter His gates. The gates belong to Him. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into or enter His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. You know, there's so much power when you combine thanksgiving and praise. And as His sheep, we can worship and serve Him from the pasture. His pasture. We can worship Him from the pasture out in the countryside all the way into the temple courts and anywhere in between, from the fields to the sanctuary. All of these places are appropriate places to worship our God because He's the King everywhere, right? He's not restricted in any way. But why should we shout for joy to the Lord? Why should we serve the Lord and worship Him with gladness when a lot of our prayers don't get answered the way we want them to? Why should we enter His gates with thanksgiving? Why should we enter His courts with praise? Verse 5 tells us why. Look at verse 5. For the Lord is good. Man, what an understatement is that? For the Lord is good. His unfailing love endures forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation. That's it, right there. These are everlasting reasons to give thanks and praise to God. His love, His mercy, His faithfulness never end. Hey, if we're going to be receivers of God's mercy, and we are, I am, and I'm thankful for it, but if we're going to be receivers of His mercy, then we also must be givers of thanks to Him, right? Make sense? Every good and perfect gift comes from Him because He's good and He's perfect, and we're not. His unfailing love endures for how long? Forever. There's no end to it, and His faithfulness continues to each generation. Let those promises sink in. His unfailing love and His faithfulness show up together in a lot of the Psalms. If you read through the book of Psalms, take note of how often His unfailing love and faithfulness are in the same psalm. That combination shows us over and over and over and over again the lasting commitment that God has made to His people. Here's just a few examples. They're not on the screen, so just listen. Psalm 36, verse 5. Says, your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Psalm 89, verse 2. Your unfailing love will last forever. Your faithfulness is enduring as the heavens. Psalm 92, verse 2. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening. You see how they go together? That's just a few examples of how the Psalms combine God's unfailing love with his faithfulness to describe the commitment he has to us as his children. And in these five verses of Psalm 100, we're taught the what and we're taught the why of giving praise to God. What are we to do as his children? Praise him. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with singing with joy. Now, if we can't worship the Lord with gladness and come before him singing with joy, we've got a problem. Hopefully it's not a long-lasting problem. There was a time in my life I couldn't sing certain songs. Like that one song, It Is Well With My Soul. I couldn't sing that song because it wasn't well with my soul. And there are certain songs that are hard to sing and mean them. Like how about that song, I Surrender All? Really? Do we? That's a tough one. But if we can't worship the Lord with gladness. Oh, and by the way, he healed me of that. It took years. It took years. But he brought me back where I could sing that song because it was well with my soul again. But if we can't worship him with gladness, if we can't come before him singing with joy, then there's a problem there. But hopefully it's not a long-lasting problem for you either. Because Psalm 43, verse 5, the psalmist says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Now listen to this. The very next line, he says, I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again. My Savior and my God. Now, I know it's not as easy as it sounds, but it is true. If we just focus on the negative, if we just focus on the bad stuff, we can get discouraged. We can get depressed, and it's hard to get out of that if that's all our focus is on. But if we'll turn, and sometimes you got to force yourself. There's a song, sometimes you got to sing your way into the truth. Play more worship music. Fill the atmosphere with worship music, not garbage. And if you... we'll put our hope back in him if we'll praise him again. It may seem fake at first, but keep pressing on. Keep pressing in and doing it so we can praise him again and put our hope in him again, even if we feel he's let us down in the past. He's faithful. His faithfulness lasts forever. His unfailing love lasts forever. His grace and his mercy. His mercies are new every morning. But I know from my own experience, it's not as easy as it sounds. So according to Psalm 100, what are we supposed to do? Praise God. And why are we supposed to do it? Because he's our creator. Because he's our shepherd. He made us. We're his. We're his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. And you might be thinking, yeah, I hear you, Bob. I know all that stuff. Why don't you tell me something I don't know this morning? Well, let me ask us all a question first. Are we living this psalm out in our everyday lives? Have we mastered these five verses? Because I haven't. Are we shouting for joy to the Lord or complaining? Are we worshiping him and serving him with gladness? Or are we griping? Are we entering his gates with thanksgiving? Are we entering his courts with praise? Is that how we're living our lives? Did we come to worship this morning with hearts filled with thanksgiving for how blessed we are? Or do we find ourselves complaining we don't have enough? Anybody have to walk to church this morning? I don't think so. You know, I saw a video of someone being asked, it was Thanksgiving week, someone was being asked, what are you thankful for? You know, a lot of people, family, God, stuff, you know, health. And this one person answered, I'm thankful for all the things I can do without and still be content. I thought, oh, good answer. That's a great answer. I'm thankful for all the things I can do without and still be content. Now, the Bible tells us that godliness with contentment is great gain. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6. Godliness with contentment is great game. But a lot of Christians, especially in the American church, they want to rearrange the words in that verse to read, godliness with great gain, now I can be content. I want godliness, but I want comfort. I want stuff. I want great gain. Then I can be content. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says godliness with contentment. That's the gain. That's the great gain. How can you put a price tag on contentment? How can you put a price tag on joy, peace? See, joy comes to people who are living with thankful hearts. If we have thankful hearts, we can shout with joy to the Lord. We can worship him with gladness because we know he's God and we're not. We know we belong to him. We know we are his sheep. And if we have thankful hearts instead of bitter, unforgiving, complaining hearts, we can enter his gates with thanksgiving. And we can enter his courts with praise because we know the Lord is good. And we know that his unfailing love endures forever. And we know that his faithfulness continues to each generation. We know these things. If you didn't, you do now. Like he says, we need to know him. Not know about him. Know him. His faithfulness, his love, all these things, his mercy, his compassion. Let this motivate us. Knowing all these things about God, let it motivate us to live out Psalm 100. Not just here on a Sunday morning. Let's live Psalm 100 out at home, at work, at school, wherever we are. It's only 5 verses long, but it's filled with a lot of instructions on how we should be living our lives every day. Not just Sunday morning, but Monday morning, Friday night, all the days that end with the letter Y. Amen? Amen. That's all I got. I just wanted to cover Psalm 100 in detail this morning. I told you I wouldn't keep you long. Let's pray. Please stand with me if you're able. I want to say a prayer. Remember, the Advent season begins next Sunday. Hopefully you'll join us for those 4 services. Lord, we look in your word, and there's some hard teaching, just like be thankful in all circumstances. That was a hard one. Just like the week before that, love your enemies. Boy, that was a challenging one. And Psalm 100 challenges us, Lord. But if we know you, if we know your character, if we know who you really are, not just facts about you, you're not impressed by that, but to know you intimately and know, I know what it looks like, but I know I can trust God. And especially when we don't understand your ways, Lord, give us that ability to trust you, knowing you see the beginning, you see the end, you see everything in between, and sometimes we're just locked in on what's happening right now, right in front of us. Give us your perspective on our circumstances this morning, God, because my perspective needs help. My perspective sees the negative. My perspective sees the just the negative stuff. And when we look at other people, let us see them through your eyes, not our critical, judgmental eyes, but your kind, loving, compassionate eyes. Help us, Lord, to live out Psalm 100. If we got to go back and read it again and memorize it and just quote it out loud, and let us look at these 5 verses. Can we live more like these 5 verses? What a change that would make in our lives, in our marriages, in our work situations, in our home, in our school, wherever we are. So Lord, we thank you for this past week, this week of Thanksgiving. People are gathering, people are traveling, people are still traveling. We got people flying back from Maine. We got people that are out of town. And we got people that are homesick. Lord, bless these people. There's so many. People are grieving. People are heartbroken. Comfort the heartbroken. Your word says you are close to the brokenhearted. Would you be so close this morning? Dear God, forgive us when we complain. Let us be more thankful, not just this week, but every week. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.